First, let me start off by saying that the response that I've been getting to this Corona project is so positive and so heartwarming. It seems that almost everyone knows someone who's struggling. I've had over 100 conversations with people yesterday, in just one day. And I only made it about one-third of the way through my contact list. So bless all of you for your fabulous encouragement and goodwill. We truly are in this thing together. So yesterday, I heard on the news that 10 million Americans might be out of a job. Not something very fun to hear, of course. And that reminded me about my next topic, the fear of losing everything. So many people have worked so hard to get where they are today, including me. Since this virus hit, my new inquiries have grown eerily quiet. I normally get 5 to 10 calls a day, and that has almost dried up completely in just one week. It is a bit disconcerting to think that the 11 years I've spent building my private practice suddenly feels like it might go down the tubes because of a plummeting economy. You know, therapy is not that much of a necessity when you're faced with the prospect of losing your job or your home or your car. So trust me, I know the feeling. It's easy to fall right down into that rabbit hole of worst-case scenarios. How do we keep that fear at bay, especially when things are getting really real, real fast? Well, if you've been following along and have watched the videotapes, then you know that the first thing we want to do is truly identify our worst-case scenarios, as in write them down verbatim, word for word as you are thinking them. This is always the first step in the process. It's not a fun step, but it's so vital. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. Answer that question, what are you so afraid of? When we actually see our worst fears in print, we often get an immediate sense of the hidden, irrational nature of what we're actually thinking. When we leave those things up in our heads, they get pretty distorted pretty quickly. Many people I've spoken with thus far admit that their fears get pretty dark. They imagine running completely out of money. They see the heat and the electricity being shut off, and what little food they have left in the fridge is soon gone or going to spoil. The cupboards are getting threadbare, the car's being repossessed, and finally, the evictions notice gets posted on the door, and the sheriff arrives to escort them out of their house. You don't believe me? Write down your own worst fears and see what you come up with. It might surprise you. And this is the nature of the human brain. Many people don't even realize what's going on in their own heads until they actually stop and write it down. Now let's look at the best case scenario. Everything returns back to normal by the end of the day or the end of the week? Yeah. Using the model, we can throw out the worst case and the best case, as both of them have a relatively tiny chance of occurring. Remember the model? Capture, analyze, restructure, and then tape and listen. What is in the middle ground? What is at the mean or the average or within one standard deviation of the norm? Well, let's just think about that for a second. How about we start with just shooting in the middle? What if you get to keep half of what you have? Now notice how I didn't say lose half of what you have. That was chosen by design. So I walked around my own house and looked at everything I have. Could I live without half of my clothes? Easily. How about half my furniture? Yep, no problem. Half of the tools and the gadgets in my garage? Oh, heck yeah, at least half. How about the crap in my attic? Affirmative, most of that could go. How about my TVs and my computers? Half of those? Yep. And I reckon that half of my food would still last me about 2 months at least. Now, it wouldn't be gourmet eating, that's for sure, but seriously, plenty to go a pretty long way. In one trip around my house, I could literally cut my concern about losing everything in half. And then I thought about jobs. People aren't losing jobs. people are giving the gift of life, or more pointedly perhaps, a few extra years of life to the elderly who really enjoy having life. About 3 weeks ago, my mother-in-law turned 93, and we had a party for her at our house. It is so fun to watch her open homemade cards from the great-grandkids, you know, the colored stick figure kind, and Grandma guards those with her life. And then to watch the grandkids crawl up into her lap and give her a big bear hug goodbye, that's pretty precious stuff. And as she was leaving, she hugged me tight, and through the tears, she said the same thing she always says. "You don't know how much this means to me." I think I do, Grandma. I think I do. And there are 10 million people out there staying at home from work so that you can possibly see one more birthday. So America, we're not busy losing everything. America is busy giving everything. Or as I demonstrated, at least half. It's probably a very, very high estimate. I doubt we're going to give away half. And plus, I heard there's a $2 trillion stimulus package coming. Is there really that much to worry about? But let's play that out a little further even. In my practice, at least once a week, the conversation about hating their jobs from my clients comes up. Funny thing the internet is, I just typed in how many people hate their jobs and got back a slew of results. According to Google, about 415 million results in 0.78 seconds. Those people at Google, man, blows my mind. And what did I find on the front page? Well, I found between 70 and 85% people hating their jobs on the first page, as well as a Gallup poll and the article accompanying that saying, "Why do so many people hate their jobs?" Now, lest I get too far off into the weeds here, back to my point. Many of my clients don't like their jobs. So the first thing that I ask them is, what would you rather be doing? And do you want to know what the number one answer is? By a very wide margin, after, of course, the usual, "I don't have a clue," here's the answer. Wait for it. "I just want to help people." Guess what, folks? That's exactly what you're doing, helping someone else. It's all about perspective, isn't it? And why is that the most popular answer? For the same reason it always ends up in the top 10 list of what makes people happy. Altruism, helping other people. We're wired that way. The more we can help, the better we feel. Nobody is losing here, folks. Everybody is helping. In fact, and don't shoot me for this, if you're not taking a financial hit right now, you probably aren't really helping. And shame on you for being selfish and greedy. But if you are that guy or that gal, then you're the one who's missing out. Because there's nothing on this earth that feels better than altruism. So 10 million people have the perfect opportunity in my eyes to benefit from the altruistic nature of helping. They are not out of a job, or at least they don't have to be. They're engaged in the most coveted career choice on this planet, helping other people and making a big difference. And they are my heroes, I'll tell you that. So back to the model. Either we are losing or gaining. Those two things are mutually exclusive and cannot be happening at the same time. I choose gaining. Are you with me? We can either feel sorry for ourselves or get busy with the most precious and rewarding task of helping others and feel happy. Sorry for yourself and happy about helping cannot fit in the same brain at the same time. I choose happy. Are you with me? Okay, so where are we? Reconstruction, right? Take these ideas and get busy. Put them in your own words and get them taped on your phone, audio tape, or if you prefer a video selfie, your choice, and then get busy listening. Now, if you need more ideas or help putting them into your own audio or videotape, even if it's just help with the logistics, like how do I do this on my phone, give me a shout. I would be more than happy to help. And then really listen to yourself over and over until it sinks in. Don't just think about it. Do it now. And then I want you to do one more thing. After you have taped and listened to yourself, your own much better perspective in your own voice on your phone, and before you put your phone down, text a teacher, a server, a factory worker, a cook, a hairstylist. And then while you're at it, text a nurse, a doctor, a respiratory therapist. Let them all know how much of a hero they are for helping by staying at home or putting their lives on the line every day while we're sitting at home. Shouldn't be that hard to find. I hear there's at least 10 million of them.